verses 1 to 18, and you'll find that on page 1063 in the Church Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thanks both so much. And let me add my welcome to Ian. At the beginning of the service, if you've not met, my name's John. I'm the minister at Christchurch. It's lovely to be all together, whether you're at Norries or Christchurch or you're visiting family or friends this morning. Do keep that open, John 1. It'll kind of be helpful to you a little bit later on. Christmas changes everything. From that first Christmas morning all those years ago, the human experience and human existence has never been the same. Christmas changes everything. That is a big claim, not least because it often seems like Christmas changes nothing. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Christmas days. I love the fact that it's so different to every other day. I love the fact that all the shops are closed. I love the fact that our kind of normal wake-up times are suspended. I love the fact that maybe you never would dream of drinking alcohol before 6 p.m. normally, but you were offered Buck's Fizz this morning and you thought, yeah, why not? I love the fact that you don't just have sausages, which are always a treat, but you have sausages wrapped in bacon, pig on pig, pig squared, and then you have stuffing. Of course you have stuffing. I love the fact that my mother-in-law, who's cooking turkey, decided she'd also cook duck today, two roast birds. And to be fair, that's probably a good call, because turkeys are notoriously small birds. It makes sense. I love the fact that we give gifts on Christmas Day, because so much of life is about gain, and then on Christmas, we give. I love the fact we gather loved ones, not just in the frenetic business of normal life, but on a day where no one else has anywhere else to be. And if they say they do, they're just making excuses. Today is the day the guns went silent and the troops played football on no man's land. But the next day, the thunder of the guns returned and the horror of trench warfare came back in all its misery and wickedness. It didn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. Some of us, its difference just makes things harder, more aware of sadness or loss or loneliness on Christmas Day than any other day of the year. And even if this day is full of joy, at some point in the next few days, we'll return to the normality of life where a sausage is a massive treat, a luxury that most of us can ill afford. And yet the first Christmas morning does change everything. And I want to persuade us as to why that is today. Here's why. It's because most of life, nearly all of life, is about gain. It defines our existence and defines our value. What can we gain? That's why we lionize those that have been successful over this past year. Luke Littler or Mo Salah, particularly Mo Salah. 15 league goals already. He's on for a historic season. Or Taylor Swift or Beyonce or Simone Biles or Apple. We want to go up in the world. When we notice that someone has gone up in the world, we say, oh, they've gone up in the world. We want to reach the pinnacle, and we celebrate, particularly at the end of the year, we celebrate those who have reached the pinnacle. So Sports Personality of the Year awards, top 100 footballers, or the top 50 TV programs of the year, which if you're interested was Shogun, which is on Disney+. I've not watched it yet, but if you're at Christchurch, I'll let you know what it's like in the new year. We celebrate those who've pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, who've made something of themselves and lifted themselves out of their old life. We assume that's the human story on a grand level. So listen to this from Yuval Noah Harari in his bestseller book, Homo Sapiens. Filled many stockings a few years ago, and I suspect has sat unread on many bookshelves ever since. But he said this, 70,000 years ago, Homo Sapiens was still an insignificant animal minding its own business in a corner of Africa. In the following millennia, it transformed itself into the master of the entire planet and the terror of the ecosystem. And we're told that reaching the top, pulling ourselves up, going up the arrow, is what life is all about. We want to, or we're told to, reach new heights in the coming year. For at school, we want to be at the top of the class or the top of the school social pyramid, depending on which one you care about most. You want to be the best on the sports pitch or the dance studio or on the stage. At work, you want to climb the career ladder. You want to get to the pinnacle, or at least as high as your own opportunity and talents kind of let you get. And there's much about that which is good and perfectly appropriate, and yet it is exhausting, like climbing a mountain always is. And our world tells us we can never stop climbing, seeking to reach the top, trying to get to the pinnacle. So easy for depression or disillusionment to set in because, well, that career ladder might remain stubbornly greasy. And what if you do get to the top, only to find that when you get there, in the words of author Jack Higgins, there's nothing there? What about the way that our success so often means that we feel the right to look down upon other people? And yet this is why the first Christmas changes everything. Because at that first Christmas, instead of us striving to get to the top, the God of the universe came down. Love came down at Christmas. Ultimate reality came down at Christmas time. That is what John tells us in John 1. Do open it back up, page 1063 if you closed it. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That light, in verse 4, is the life of all mankind. The light of all mankind. The life by which we see light. The life by which we all have life. Or chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The word is the word logos, or logic. This word or logic is the law that governs all laws. The law of gravity works because of this logic, this word, this logos. Jesus, or the author John, introduces us to ultimate reality, the thing that explains everything. What is it? It's a who. It's a he. It's a very specific he. The feeding trough held him. The young girl cradled him in her arms. The shepherds peered down their noses at him. The livestock looked bemused at the interruption into their world of this crying baby, and they gaze upon the one who explains everything. Ultimate reality is not, according to John, the light of our own hearts, our own feelings or thoughts or expressions or actions or behavior. Ultimate reality is not a life force surging through all of us, all living beings. Ultimate reality, not some distant deity ruling and reigning from a far off country. Ultimate reality is a baby boy, which is extremely humbling. Because it means the world and your existence and your experience is defined by, finds its meaning and purpose in relationship to this baby boy. It means that the story, which, let's be honest, so easily becomes sentimental or nostalgic or lovely, is the story which explains your story, whether you like it or not. Very humbling, but also extraordinary. Unbelievably extraordinary, because verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. Love came down at Christmas time. Light and life and love, ultimate reality, he comes to us. He comes to you at Christmas time. The Word who is with God and is God becomes a baby. The creator of all becomes a creature. Which means that God doesn't demand that we go looking for him. He doesn't say that use your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences, your philosophical musings, and search for the light until you find it. The light comes down at Christmas time. He doesn't ask us to climb up to him. He doesn't say that life is about gain and climbing the ladder. He says that your effort, your deeds, your morality, your goodness, totally unnecessary because he comes down. And he doesn't embrace those who've reached the top, the most adders of this world, who've climbed to the pinnacle, the rich, the beautiful, the famous, the successful. He comes to the least and the last and the lost because love came down at Christmas. Most of us know that the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is a travesty of a Christmas Day song. It's a travesty of a Christmas Day song. It says, one of the lyrics is this: he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness' sake. Presents to those who earn them or deserve them or merit them, those who gain. But Christmas is not about gain, it's about gift. Because God came down at Christmas. That's why Christmas presents are so appropriate. Because you don't, well, I hope you don't, decide whether or not you'll give a gift on the basis of whether they've been good to you, or whether they've had a good year, and whether they've behaved well. Even the nightmare child who causes chaos still receives Christmas gifts. Because gifts are about giving, not about gaining. And that is what John tells us to do with that very first Christmas, the baby that came down. He tells us to receive them. Like every child knows, the way you take a gift is by receiving it. Verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Life can be exhausting. That ceaseless efforts to climb the mountain can be exhausting. Perhaps you'll find Christmas exhausting this year. Lots to do, always more to do. Certainly life can be depressing, disillusionment can easily set in, very easily, even if you reach the top to start looking down on others. But Christmas changes everything. Instead of exhaustion, rest. Instead of depression or disillusionment, freedom. And instead of looking down on others, humble gratitudes for the God that came down. My existence not defined by my ability to reach the top. My experience not defined by how successfully I strive to reach the top, but by the God who came to me at Christmas. Today probably won't change anything, or at least won't change anything very significantly. Maybe make our wallets a little bit lighter, our waistlines a little bit fuller, our arteries a little bit more clogged up. Today won't change anything, but that first Christmas changes everything. because the one who explains everything came down to us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you so much that in a world which so often asks us to ceaselessly work, to climb, to reach, to gain, you are the God that came down to gift. Please might we celebrate that great truth, that wonderful reality today. Please might it change our own experiences and our own existence. In your name we pray. Amen. Over to Wynne.